Well, this is Sandy Rios, and you've heard me tell you recently we were in Williamsburg, Virginia for a week, almost a week, with Liberty Pastors. It's libertypastors.com. And Paul Blair is the head of Liberty Pastors, the founder. It's his baby, and it's a very powerful baby, I have to tell you. But he begins the conference by asking pastors, what part of your life is Jesus not Lord over? And then he goes back to the founders and talks to them about what kind of men they were, what they believed about government, what they believed about the world, their philosophy, and then, of course, their faith. And the boldness, the clarity, the educational base, the knowledge, it's fascinating. And then he morphs into how seamless they believed faith was with governing and with the issues that they faced at the time. It was actually pastors, the Black Robe Regiment, who were central to the Revolutionary War. And so many of them were pastors, theologians. It's amazing. And it's then he talks about, then Paul brings in great experts to talk about the issues of the day. Rick Green comes, and Rick talked about Patriot Academy, which is so powerful. Bob McEwen, Dr. Melanie Kreitz-Backert, who is a surgeon who has seen transgender surgeries and talks about the damage that doctors and hospitals and the country and the culture are doing to our kids. Kevin Freeman knows all about economics. He actually hosts Economic War Room on Blaze Media. And Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears was there. She's, of course, a strong believer, and she's running for governor in Virginia. And Dr. Robert Malone was there, our good friend Dr. Malone. Steve Maxwell. And that's not all. That's just a lot of them. Matt Staver was also there. And we actually talked to him. You're going to hear my conversation with him. But today we're going to talk to Kevin Freeman. Now, Kevin is also the host of Pirate Money Radio. That's on AFA, American Family Radio, at 11, I believe 11 Eastern Standard Time on Saturdays. And Kevin is he's written a book called Pirate Money, which has become really popular. People are just buying this and reading it. He is the person behind pushing gold to be the backup rather than the dollar, having gold and being able to write checks on gold that you own. They've passed it in, I think, 3 or 4 states. It just passed in Florida probably 3 or 4 months ago. So Kevin is behind that. But interestingly enough, that's not what we talked about. We actually talked about China. And it's a slow destruction of our country, its plans. It's a fascinating discussion, and that's what we'll tackle today. But first, abortion has remained the world's leading cause of death for the 5th consecutive year in 2023, despite the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Tragically, this total is greater than the number of deaths attributed to the next 7 causes of death combined. Sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are at an even greater risk now. And that's why we work with preborn to try to stop this in, I think, the most beautiful way possible, and that is by showing women the image of their baby in their womb and letting them decide for themselves that that life is more precious than their freedom or whatever it is that they think they're choosing over the life of the baby. They do it so beautifully, and that's why we ask you to go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy, and make your most generous donation. And one last thing, Preborn, by the way, has a 5-star charity rating, so you can give to them with confidence. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. All right, well, you won't be sorry you listened today. By the way, you can call us and leave a message at 662-821-2040. That's 662-821-2040. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. I thank you for each and every missive that you send. Even if you're complaining about something, I like to know what you're complaining about because I might need to correct course, mightn't I? You can find us on any social media platform. You can listen to the show on any podcast platform. AFR.net is home base. And, of course, you can go to sandyrios.com. That's my website, and listen easily. But it's also on Spotify and Amazon and Apple and all the others. So I hope you'll encourage your friends to listen, because that's how we grow the show, and that's how we most importantly spread the word. about what's happening in our culture. Well, today, Kevin Freeman of Economic War Room on Blaze Media joins us to talk about China and their subjugation of the United States of America on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness. That we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice, not social justice, but God's justice, what's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
Okay, we are coming to you, well, live right now from Liberty Pastors Conference. I guess we're not live to air, so let me think about this. When you hear it, it will be on tape. So many of the presenters here, I've been telling you about it this week, are just phenomenal, and many of them are friends. And one of them is a really good friend who's sitting across from me. Kevin Freeman has been a powerhouse on all things economic. He says things nobody else says. He thinks of things nobody else thinks of. And I've been talking to him since probably, I don't know if it's been back in the 90s. I don't remember, Kevin, but you were still in Oak. I remember just talking to you. I learned so much from you. You were the one who first alerted me about economic warfare before you ever had a show on The Blaze. You talked about, just using economics. And maybe it was after 9/11. I don't know. But I've learned a ton from you. So I'm getting ready to learn more from you and let the benefit of that go to my audience, too. So thanks for joining me.
Oh, it's good to be with you. You know, when you say somebody says things that other people don't say and thinks things that other people don't think, then basically one definition of that is weird. And I am weird, but I do see things occasionally, economic things that are happening that look like they're an attempt to take down our country.
Yes, you do. And I remember us having, and this wasn't our first time, but we talked in depth about 2008, the crash, the Obama crash, right before Obama was elected. We talked about that, and you're the first person to say to me what I felt. Like, this can't be organic. This is not, this, something's behind this. And you said, yes, there was something behind it. And you mentioned that this morning in a speech you were giving on China. So maybe we can come back to that. Because I wanted to, you said to me when you sat down, the last time we were across the table on a mic, I had COVID, and my husband was deathly ill in a hotel room, and you were my guest. Remember that?
Yes. You weren't sure you had COVID. You called me shortly thereafter, and you said, no, I've tested positive. You need to go get tested. But yeah, it was at CPAC in Dallas several years ago, and it was a surreal event, because while we were talking, behind us was wandering Bruce Caitlin Jenner with all conservative media following around. Dr. Carson was speaking on the stage, and Candy Carson came by our booth and led us in a Bill Gaither sing-along on a Sunday morning. That's the last time we were across from each other with a microphone in between.
It was a very strange event for me. And you're right, I didn't know I had COVID, and I didn't know Bruce had it. He was just back in the hotel room, deathly ill, and I couldn't get him back home, and that was a terrible experience. My audience knows about that, but you and Marnie prayed for me, prayed
and
for
Bruce.
And Bruce
looks great. It's so good to see him up and around and completely healthy as far as we can tell.
Well, you know, he suffered some real effects from
it
that.
It was very...
And not until, like, in the last few years has he really... It's amazing how much damage it did initially. So, anyway... That was a bonding moment, right?
Yeah.
Then I called you and told you I had it. Oh, boy. Good news. That's what good friends are for. They spread disease to one another and all kinds of things.
Yeah, we got sick, too. It was a super spreader event, I guess. But, you know, the whole COVID notion, you mentioned China, it was released as a biological weapon. Was it accidentally released or was it planned that way? It doesn't matter. It was created as a biological weapon, and the American taxpayers funded the Chinese creation of BioWare.
And Dr. Fauci knew all about it, got a lot of that funding, didn't he?
He did. And somewhere at this conference is Dr. Robert Malone, I just saw, you know, and some of the great heroes that stood against him.
Yes.
But our government literally helped China create a bioweapon that they have purposed to say was designed to take down America.
Well, that's something that you addressed this morning. So let's talk about that. I always fancy I know quite a bit about China, and I do know more. I mean, I've been there several times, and I've covered it, but you said things I'd not heard before. And one of them was, you know, Gordon Chang, always tells me dreadful things that I believe, like that China wants to take our land. They want to replace us, displace us, and take our land. I've heard him say that many times, but you really explained it today. And you explained it through the words of a Chinese, was it a military guy? Or
General Qi Haoshun.
Okay. And this was written in 2005?
2005. He was the head of the Chinese military. He was essentially the defense secretary for China. He was the Don Rumsfeld, or now the Pete Hegseth, of China at the time in 2005. So it's not, and these words were approved. It was a secret speech, and it fit everything they'd said before that, the hide and bide theory. It was totally designed for that.
All right, so let's talk about that, because it really gave the background that helped me to understand. I know they're at war with us, even though we don't imagine it, but the spectrum of it is what he laid out. So I know you don't have the thing in front of you, but you have great recall. So what you remember from that speech, can you just kind of tell us in general what he said the plan was?
He said point number one was that our nation is becoming unlivable from our own pollution, the ground pollution, the water, the air, everything.
Meaning China.
China.
He's saying, our country, China.
General Qi said it's becoming unlivable. And essentially, this ties in with what Alex Newman was talking about, is, you know, if we really cared about the environment and the climate, we would no way go down the path that we've gone down to cut American energy and American production and send it all to China. Why would we do that? Because they're terrible on environment, and they polluted their skies, they polluted their waters, they've killed off their babies, they've done everything communism, we say this is what communism will do, they've done it. And he said, our nation is almost unlivable, and therefore we have to go take America from Americans. They don't deserve it. They didn't discover it. It was discovered by the yellow race. He actually used the term yellow race in reference to Asians. And it's our turn to go take it. And the way we're going to take it is not through military weaponry, but through a bioweapon. Now, this is, what, 15 years before COVID was released. And he said, a bioweapon that we've created so that because the plants and the trees and life goes on, other than will kill, he said it would be indeed brutal to kill 100 to 200 million Americans, but it's necessary for us to enjoy the Chinese century.
And he talked about building a whole population of Chinese in this country loyal to the Chinese Communist Party.
Right.
That was the specific. And so that, of course, at one time or another might have sounded preposterous. But look what we've had. I don't even know what the estimate of Chinese immigrants in this country is. Do you know?
We didn't keep track of them as they came across the border when it was open under Biden, but military divisions worth of immigrants coming in. And those are the ones we know about. We have no idea what else they've snuck across the border at some point.
You know, Kevin, I remember those brothers, I'll think of it in a second. They do a podcast, and they are really rough. I mean, they do things that we wouldn't do doing podcasts. They went down and took that trail up, the trail that went up through Mexico and through Central America into the United States, and they filmed the whole thing, and I watched the whole thing. I don't mean they had it edited, obviously,
right.
But their journey and what they found along the way were all these Chinese hotels. Like, there were all kinds of immigrants coming up, but the Chinese had their own special hotels, own special food, and they were well-fed and well-dressed as
they
made that
they
Darien Pass.
They weren't 45-year-olds. They weren't 72-year-olds. They weren't young women. They were primarily military-aged young men.
And pretty smug and not friendly. And they came across our border, and we don't know where they went.
Right.
And
that fits exactly what General Qi warned in this. He didn't warn us. It was a secret speech that Epoch Times got a hold of, and Jeff Nyquist has published.
Wow. And then I think of the Confucius Centers. which were built, developed on college campuses around the country, and the Chinese paid for that, as I recall.
Oh, they bribed the school, and part of the agreement was, we'll build a Confucius Center, we'll give you this other money, but you sign an agreement that you will not disparage China in any of your courses whatsoever.
So the mutual friends of ours, it's conservative scholars, got onto that, and they started writing about the Confucius Institutes and exposed them, and I believe they're mostly gone now. I mean, maybe...
Yeah, they are. They're certainly not public-facing.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that they're not funding all sorts of other things, other departments. Like in Michigan, they've funded this department, and two Chinese nationals brought in a fungus.
Right.
That could kill off our crop supply. And that's the goal, is that you leave the land. It's like a neutron bomb. Remember the whole neutron bomb idea is that you leave the buildings, you leave everything except the people, you kill the people. And essentially, that's the Chinese desire. The Chinese Communist Party, we've got to be very careful. Chinese people are wonderful people. I've spent time with them. And in fact, some of the strongest churches in the world are the underground churches in China.
That's right.
So the people are great. It is this communist ideology that's so evil, and it's pretended to be open society and moderate and reformed. It's not any of those things. Chinese Communist Party is perhaps the greatest evil on planet Earth today. Maybe radical Islam would rival, but they are these are people that will live human organ harvest. You're a dissident. You happen to be Falun Gong. You happen to be a Uyghur. We will put you in a concentration camp, and when we need a kidney, we'll come take it.
And these are also the people that during COVID, the mega shutdown that they had in China. Did you see that video, Kevin? I bet you did, of people crying out in apartment buildings, like screaming, because they wouldn't let them out. They were just locked down. And then they couldn't get food, they couldn't get medicine, and they were wailing. You could hear it. It was echoing in the apartment building from across. That's what they did to their own people. And
what did they know to do that? What did they know about COVID that we don't know? What's the damage, the ticking time bomb? It really is scary that the people who literally invented this are that deathly afraid of it. Now, we're fortunate. I think we've developed herd immunity much more quickly than anyone. But you saw it. It's a terrible disease.
It is a terrible disease. I don't know if I ever told you, Kevin. I was right before I came to Washington, D.C., and again, you and I had met before. I was in North Korea on 9/11, and I knew I was getting ready to go be the head of Concerned Women for America in just less than a month. And actually, nobody on the trip knew that. I hadn't given notice at my radio station or anything. And we came back across the Tumon River on October the 12th, knowing nothing, and found out from a restaurant owner, we went into a Chinese restaurant in northern Manchuria, that this is all it all happened. We didn't believe him. Anyway, we couldn't eat. We went to our host's home. A lot of noise in here. We went to our host's home and watched the bodies just dropping from the buildings. That's the first we'd heard of it. Then we ended up getting stranded in China. This is the last time I was in China. It was 2001, right then. And the Chinese Christians, to your point, which is the reason I'm telling this long story, they were so compassionate to us. They prayed with us, and it was just unbelievable. That's what we'd done. We had met with underground churches at that time. And so, yes, I've made so many friends, Chinese friends, because they are wonderful people. But their government is brutal and hates them, doesn't care about them either. Kept making them kill their own babies, dashing to pieces or drowning their children in front of them.
What's more evil than that? That is the single most evil, to force a mother to kill its baby. Kill her baby. It's nothing more evil than that.
Okay, so economics is a lot of things, but this is your home base. And so you also talked about how China is planning on targeting us economically. And, of course, they have, but explain that, how this has happened and how we got here.
Well, if you think of replacement theory, China says we want to displace the United States and replace them as the world's strongest economy, as the leader in technology, the leader in anything, and literally take over our soil. They want to like they're buying farmland next to military bases and so forth. To do that, you're going to really have to replace the U.S. dollar. And that's been their intention for quite some time. And they've teamed with Vladimir Putin on this. The BRICS nations was a vision of Vladimir Putin in 2005-2006 era. And he approached the Chinese, and he tried to get the Chinese to crash the dollar in 2008, which they were not willing to do at that time. They said, not yet. They didn't say no. They said, not yet. And they joined the BRICS nations, and their stated goal is to remove the dollar as the reserve currency of the world, which would literally bankrupt us as a nation, as a people.
Has that been stopped by the election of Donald Trump? That movement, because we were close to that. Were we not close to them accomplishing that?
Yeah, in some ways it has, because Donald Trump's trade policy puts us in a better position, certainly than China, absolutely better than Russia or any other nation, and he's established that. But we now have $37 trillion in debt. When the general was talking about taking us down in 2005, I'm just guessing it was like $5 trillion. So we've gone, you know, in 20 years, we've gone from $5 trillion to $37 trillion, something like that. I think when George Bush left office in 2008, so it was more than $5 trillion. It was $10 trillion when he left office. It was $13 trillion just a few years ago, and now it's $37 trillion. So yes, in some ways, President Trump has made things better and given us probably a longer runway. But that ticking time bomb is still ticking, and that is the federal debt is excessive, regardless of how you look at it. The dollar is doomed unless we alter course very rapidly.
What do you think about the notion that President Trump, under his decisions and leadership, can bring in enough tariffs and enough revenue to cancel that debt?
Well, given global GDP, he would have to have a very hefty tariff to cancel it. But he can certainly put us on the right path to where if you can get the economy growing faster than the debt, that solves the problem. And I believe he's on that path.
Yeah. One of the things that General Xi said that you read today, he waxed eloquent about how lovely America is. He didn't use that word, but he talked about how their skies are blue. They don't have crowds in the sidewalk. They don't have, I don't know what else he said.
Trees lining the highways, which, of course, as we drive through Virginia, you see the beautiful trees lining the highways.
Yeah, he said, we don't have anything like that. And they don't. I mean, they don't. I mean, you get, I'm sure you know this, but even in Beijing, when I was there last, they had all these new hotels and businesses and restaurants, and it looks so beautiful. But I used to jog, so I would go for a run, and like a block behind were people living in huts and hovels. They didn't have windows on there. It's just a cutout and cooking in their front yard. So, and then when I've been out into the countryside too, and they just live in just total poverty. So, and it's brown. It's like clay, or I don't know if it's clay, but it's like that kind of colored brown. It's just not, it isn't pretty.
No.
I don't know, maybe there are parts of China that are, but
surely along the Yangtze River or something, there's some pretty parts. But one thing I learned a long time ago is when you see the things that man has made, like the city in Beijing or like Las Vegas,
right,
at night, it looks beautiful. When there's darkness around, it looks beautiful. But when you get it in the daylight, it's kind of ugly.
Yes.
The things of God look beautiful in the daylight when the sun is shining and you see the forest or you see the river or whatever. But at night, they're scary.
That's true.
And so the light of Jesus will expose the beauty of what God's created and the ugliness of man and man's creation. But when it's dark and it's dark all around, the man's creation looks better than the scary forest or the scary meadow and so forth.
That's really an interesting observation. See, I told people that you looked at things differently. I think that's a great observation. Let's talk a little bit about intellectual property and theft, because you also talked about that. And I have discussed it, of course, but I don't know how to quantify it. I don't know how to quantify that was part of their plan too, right? They want to steal what we have.
It was. And the amount stolen by the FBI is $225 to $600 billion a year. But cumulative, once you steal that property, then the produce of it, let's say if you stole Microsoft operating system, DOS operating system years and years ago, you know, it's worth billions, if not hundreds of billions or trillions of dollars, you know, in operation. The best estimate I saw was $5 trillion a year is taken away from the American economy. and you consider that that $5 trillion a year is roughly what we are taking in taxes, that's a lot of money that's been stolen from the American people.
Okay, so my position on Trump and China is I wish he would just clamp down and let them shrink and atrophy.
Well, they will from their one-child policy. They're dying as a society.
But I'm talking about economically everything. You know, he kind of changed course. I got he was going really hard on them, and then he decided to go back to 25%, I think, for tariffs or something. I'm not sure where it stands now. And I thought, no, just
part
pedal
of it,
to the metal.
The pain that we would feel in the United States is so severe if he held to his original tariff policy with China, because for the last 25 years, and I watched a friend, he had a semiconductor factory in Montana. He says, I'm going to start manufacturing in China. It's so much cheaper, and I'm going to make so much more money. And he told me how much money he would give, and I'll reinvest it in America and all that. Well, I saw him a few years later, and he was broke. He had everything stolen from him. And he was once very wealthy, and now he's impoverished because of this. And guess what? He wasn't able to do any of the things that he wanted to do. So we are so intertwined and have given up so much. It would be cold turkey withdrawal would be very painful and costly.
So you see Trump's plan is bringing back, you know, pill manufacturing, pharmaceutical manufacturing, bringing back creating goods and all of that. And, so... I don't know how strong China is right now. I get the impression that I know you said they're shrinking, but I think Qi is so unpopular too. So I don't know how stable they are, but are they stable enough to carry out this plan?
Well,
do we have them in a pretty good place?
Well, Gordon Chang would say that beware the wounded dragon. They are hurting, but they're still powerful. They're a nuclear nation. Mm-hmm. They have a very large army. They have spies around the world. They have worked for decades to set us up in a weak position and them in a strong position. So they can hurt us. They could flip a switch and all the drones stopped working. They could flip a switch and you know, maybe our appliances stop, but also maybe our fighter jets stop. I mean, they've cloned and stolen everything. Unless we have a good handle on it, I think it would be a very dangerous thing to be in a direct confrontation with China at the moment.
How in the world do you extricate yourself from that?
Over time. Long time.
Do you think the military is doing that now?
I hope
Pete
so.
Hegseth?
I hope, you know, literally, with Pete Hegseth, I hope so. But when I was talking in the Pentagon, I talked to DARPA, I talked to IARPA, I talked to SOLIC, I talked to the Defense Intelligence Agency. In fact, it was so bad that General Flynn, when he was the head of the DIA, called me one day in Dallas, where I was living, and said, I need you to come to Washington, and I need you to brief the DIA on China. And I said, with all due respect, General Flynn, I'm certain in Washington you've got some better China experts than a money manager in Texas. And he said, you'd think so, but no, you come. And he put me up against Michael Swain, who was the head of the Carnegie Institute for International Peace, and a Chinese individual who was number two at the World Bank at the time. And we had a debate in front of the China House, the China shop. And the head of the China shop was Lonnie Henley. And he basically said, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. China's our friend and all this. And he was actually reprimanded for testifying on behalf of his mentor, who was convicted of spying for China.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's how bad they were in our military and how intricated, how connected they were to all of the top thinking in the military, that the DIA had to go outside of the DIA to get someone to talk bad about China.
Not to mention their connection with Congress. Like Dianne Feinstein's chauffeur was a Chinese spy. What, for 20, 25 years he drove her? And then we've got Fang Fang
with Swalwell.
Yeah. And, I mean, it really is disgusting. It really is. So it'll be a miracle if we can execute.
There's a story here. I spoke at the Heritage Foundation after one of my book releases. They had me in, and I was approached by a woman afterwards who was obviously Chinese, and she handed me her business card, and it said China Studies Professor Georgetown or something like that. I don't remember the exact title. And I looked at it, I held it up, and I just talked about unrestricted warfare, giving a speech like I just gave here, like you heard, and I looked at the card, looked at her, and I said, you're PLA, aren't you? And she smirked, and she said, yes. I said, oh, all right, you're PLA. let me ask a question. Did I say anything that was inaccurate? And she said, no. And I said, okay, do I have to look over my shoulder and worry about somebody coming to whack me? And she said, no, nobody's going to listen to you. I said, why? And she said, we own half this town. I said, okay, who owns the other half? And she said, the Saudis. Gosh, that was probably 2012, something like that. And she said, we own half the town. She was blatant about it at Heritage Foundation.
And what do you do about a thing like that? I mean, at the time, we didn't have an executive branch that we could tell that to who would care about it.
Well, I was called in by the FBI, and I shared with the FBI what I knew, and they didn't really care. They just felt like they had to interview me. But no, the administration wasn't willing to do anything about it. We've got a clean house.
Well, this is the result of just having people in the White House that have their mind on other things, you know, and they've just let China go wild. And they have gone wild. They've caused so much damage. So, and the Belt and Road Initiative, are they finally extended so much because of their financial, I'd say, difficulties? I don't know how to quantify that. But have they overextended themselves around the globe, do you think?
Maybe. It's hard to say because they've been doing this predatory lending practice where they'll go in and build something, and then if you don't make the payment on it, they'll just take it. So they've owned ports and everything else. I mean, part of the Belt and Road was taking over the Panama Canal, which we've hopefully reversed, but
hopefully.
They've had control of both ends, and they've had control of all the major ports around the world. This is a very serious international threat, and most of the community does, you know, because they've infiltrated not just our political establishment, but the Eurozone as well, and most of Asia. And they may have even just taken control in, we hope not, South Korea. I don't know if you've heard that Gordon Chang just tweeted about or ex-posted about South Korea because they interfered in that government's election.
Yes, I do know about that. And which is terrible. It's just horrible. And, I know in North Korea and South Korea, they've had spies. They've been trying to bend South Korea their way for a long time, and even they did what we've had happen here. They went into their schools, they did propaganda on the kids, and the kids became anti-American. I remember Koreans telling me this, and so they've been obviously very successful. Now they have elected someone who, I don't know if he is a communist, but he's Red China friendly,
certainly sympathetic. And and one of the things they did is they were throwing people in jail for trying to send Bibles into North Korea. That, you know, something we would applaud, you know, Voice of the Martyrs, for example, for years has sent missionaries and Bibles and different things into North Korea. Well, they were trying to float Bibles into North Korea, and they got arrested for it, for violating the public good or something.
Well, North Korea has the most draconian, their cover government has a terrible law about that. If you get caught with a Bible, three generations of your family are killed. It's really, it's horrible, Kevin.
And South Korea is stopping people.
They're stopping.
South Korea is stopping it.
I see what you're
that's
saying.
That's a scary thing.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. And they've been, you know, South Koreans, so many of them are followers of Christ and serious ones. And a lot of them have moved here, and they've been one of our best allies, to just put this in perspective. So this is a great loss. And now we've got, Taiwan.
Yes.
That China wants to take over, and we may lose them too.
Right. And I think that they might consider. I remember it was just a few years ago during COVID where we were standing up for the Hong Kong people. That's done. We don't even think about it, talk about it, or whatever. But there were protests in the street in Hong Kong because we want our liberty. We want to retain it. And it's gone. We don't even talk about Hong Kong anymore.
No.
They've been absorbed. And Taiwan, that's exactly what they have planned. They don't want to fight a war over Taiwan, I don't believe. I think they're prepared to. But I think their preference would be to take over the political establishment in Taiwan. And you can do that if you can control the election.
Yeah. Well, that reminds me of the Sao Paulo Forum, speaking of communism, when Russia lost their power, the Soviet Union broke up. I think they convened, I'm sure you know, the Sao Paulo Forum, and Castro was a big part of that in Venezuela. And they decided this plan that they would not use military force anymore, not have these armies in South America and Central America, but they would take over through democracy. They get their people democratically elected, and then and disband the courts and take over the businesses, which is what they did in Venezuela. So it's the same thing, isn't it?
It is. You can vote yourself into communism.
Yeah.
That's sad, but you can't vote yourself out.
Well, Kevin, that's pretty dreadful. But let's talk about what's happening in D.C. We've alluded to it. Are you optimistic about, in regard to China, what might happen in this next 4 years?
Totally. The first president in my life, President Reagan didn't really have a China to deal with. China at the time of, even 25 years ago, well after Reagan, was like the 11th largest economy on planet Earth. Now they're second, no question second. But they were like smaller than Italy 25, 30 years ago. So first president in my lifetime that's had to deal with China that's willing to do it is Donald Trump. Bush, certainly not. Senior Bush was ambassador to China. Clinton did the most favored nation setup. George W. did the actual signing of the most favored nation. Clinton was bribed. He was bribed by the Chinese.
Oh, no, I can't believe that, Kevin. You must be telling an untruth. He would never take money from China, and Hillary.
No, never, except Washington
did.
Post and L.A. Times and New York Times will all tell you. I remember Charlie Tree. I remember this.
I do, too.
You're a Chinese restaurant owner in Little Rock, and you're funneling money into the Clinton coffers.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, I remember that very well, too. So, well, I guess the point is, for me, is gratitude, you know, and also just the sovereignty of God. I think about that too, how good God is. There's so many Chinese Christians praying. They don't usually pray for their own safety. They pray for other things. They pray for other people. They're concerned about the world. And in fact, a lot of them said, Kevin, when we were there, that they were going to go into, they felt called to go into these Islamic nations and witness.
Sure,
because
they
no other people would do that. That's what they thought, and I think they're probably right. So
they came here. They came to Texas, and they visited with some friends at Faith Christian Church. And afterwards, we had a wonderful lunch and had the opportunity to talk with them. What can we pray for you? And basically, if I were to translate it just be bluntly translated in English, pray that we don't become soft like you. That was
that was the
prayer.
Yes, that's right. They didn't and said they told us. They said don't go back and tell people that we're suffering and that America has to help. We don't need your help. Christ is being preached. We see people coming to Christ. That's what we're into, and that's what's happening. And it was pretty amazing. I'll never forget that. So that's the kind of people that are in China, and there are millions of them. And we've got a lot of believers here, too. So I see God at work in ways that are beyond borders. And we'll just see how this all ends.
Amen.
Right?
God loves China, and He loves the Chinese people.
Yeah. And, Kevin, let's see, Economic War Room on the Blaze Media.
Yeah.
And
Blaze.com.
Blaze.com.
Or you can get us at economicwarroom.com. That's the best way to get it. It's outside the paywall.
Okay.
Economicwarroom.com. You can sign up. We'll send you an email of our programming once a week.
Okay. And Pirate Money Radio.
On American Family Radio.
AFH.
And also podcast host, just like you, on the American Family Network.
Wow, I'm proud to have you part of it. I am. American Family Network. Somebody made a good decision there, Kevin.
Well, I'm grateful, and I appreciate all you've done, Sandy. You've had me on the radio maybe first before almost anyone else, and you've just been a great friend.
Well, you deserve it, Kevin. Not the friendship, but just you have important things to say, expertise, and a passion for Christ, which is the thing I loved about you. I knew you were an expert in the field, but you were still, like me, totally committed and sold out to Christ. And so that makes you much more valuable, actually, to the world. So thank you.
Thank you,
Sandy.
Thank
you for joining me. All right, Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
If you have the means, I wonder if you would consider a leadership gift to saving babies with preborn in a bigger way. It's a tax-deductible donation, and one of $5,000, for instance, would sponsor preborn's entire network for 24 hours. And that usually saves the average of 200 babies. I mean, that's amazing, isn't it, when you think about how that money would be spent. And they do have an incredible track record of saving babies. To donate, all you have to do is go to preborn.com/Sandy. And of course, that's if that's too much money for you, $28 provides one ultrasound. So whatever you can afford, go to preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
I find Kevin Freeman fascinating, didn't you? I mean, everything he says. He has so much knowledge, and it was very impactful. I heard things I hadn't heard before about China, so I hope that you learned and enjoyed, if you can enjoy such a thing, this conversation with Kevin Freeman. And I want to thank, as always, our sponsor, Timothy Plan, because they show you how to put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.